listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 10th of March.
Rightio, that's Andy's go. Here's Mike to take care of the sponsor stuff and we'll be right back to hear what year Andy chose to remember that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
Aim 10th of March. As tempted as I was just to go back only 4 years to 2016 when Warnie was getting ready to go into the jungle for I'm a Celebrity.
Do we have him on the show, did we?
you get, that's good enough. you get to the stage, you're like, you're doing a show every day.
It's not,
can't all be high art. Like, yeah, well, I mean, did you chat to Warnie for $2? Of course we will. He definitely didn't get paid what they said he got paid, did he?
I think they were talking about...
I reckon he said. He spread $2 million, which is not a bad move because then the next show that comes along goes, "Now listen, mate, we know you were $2 million from a sled, but we can only give you $1 million to do Dancing with the Stars."
Yes,
and you go, "Okay, fine, I'll take it," knowing that you got like 120 for I'm a Sled or something.
I'm going backwards. I found this fascinating. This is in 2010.
Yep,
we were talking about Michael Clarke getting ready to break up with Lara Bingle. Apparently there was an article that was Michael Clarke is poised to break up with Lara Bingle, which obviously went on to be true.
Because we had Michael and Lara on the show to promote their energy drink. Now that would be, that's a day I'm looking forward to getting. I don't know what day it was, but if that turns up, Mike, yes. If that turns up in the random selection, I promise you we will be playing that break.
The only celebrity couple on to promote something that trumps it, I reckon, is when Eamon Sullivan and Stephanie Rice were on.
Oh, yeah, for Underdacks. Davenport
Undies. To promote their undies, and they'd already broken up, but contractually they still had to go around the whole country promoting
that.
That's
a ripper.
That comes up, we've got to get
that
it.
That is a ripper. Well, I mean, the great thing about Michael and, you know, they've both moved on, they're having happy lives since then. The great thing about Michael and Lara is their energy drink was called Synergy. They were completely on the outs.
Hey, how's this for a coincidence, though? In the first hour, we talked about Michael Clarke and Lara Bingle breaking up.
Yep.
In the second hour, Sam Worthington was on.
Is that where they met?
No. But how's that? We've had them both on the one show, but Sam went on obviously to marry Lara.
Baby daddy. I think they've got 3 kids now.
Good on them.
Yeah.
2008, nearly the whole show was dedicated to jokes and themes about Kevin Rudd being best mates with Jackie Chan. Do you have any idea what that was about?
That can't be right.
No. I can't remember it either. But
the whole show. It was pretty rare for us to dedicate a whole show.
It was like kind of the 12 breaks.
So looking at the run sheet, it was all about Kevin Rudd and Jackie Chan.
Nine of them were Kevin Rudd and Jackie Chan.
I don't remember that at all.
So it must have been a big news story. Do you remember that at all, Mike?
No, I have no memory of that.
Why Kevin has been, you know, he obviously speaks Mandarin and he's
lauded for his, you know, the Chinese relations because he can speak Mandarin.
He's done some great work over in China.
But I don't think he was doing martial arts.
He wasn't. And I'm pretty sure is Jackie Chan from Hong Kong or is Jackie...
I'm not sure.
So
I should know.
I mean, absolutely no recollection of that being a big news story. It really stinks more of slow news day than big news story.
Yeah. And we're not going to find out because I haven't picked it.
Wow, it would have been interesting to go there for.
But I did pick a celebrity that came on.
Celeb.
And he went on to be one of the biggest celebrities in the world.
This is a good guessing game. Did we have him early?
We had them very early.
Eamon Sullivan?
No, pretty early. We asked them to do something live on the show, a prank.
Yep.
That they just said yes, and it surprised us. And I don't think nowadays you'd see the celebrity just jumping at it like this.
Yeah, right.
Do you remember it? Involved McDonald's.
Oh, it was I want to say Taylor Swift. Was it Taylor Swift?
It was Taylor Swift. She came on, she performed her song, Love, I think Love Song. She performed it live. Here's a little bit of that. This takes us back to her performing that.
That you were Romeo, you were throwing pebbles, and my daddy said stay away from Juliet, and I was crying.
So we get that.
I mean, that's her. She was great.
Yeah.
She was great and so young. But it is crazy to think. I remember she'd just come and play outside the studio.
Yeah.
Now, that is tough to get these days.
No.
Having Taylor Swift sitting on a stool just playing acoustic guitar outside the studio, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to do that.
No.
She can do it, but she's choosing to do it in the privacy of her own home. And that's a better choice for Taylor.
I
reckon
so.
She has more fun doing it that way.
And wasn't her mum with her?
Yeah, yeah. Who was nice. Have you seen the Taylor Swift doco?
No.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Okay. I mean, I liked Taylor.
Yeah.
I'd always enjoyed Taylor before that, but then I saw the doco and she's great. So the doco is terrific. Now hearing that, because there's a lot of like old footage and stuff, and it reminded me a bit of when we'd had her on, because, you know, they've got footage in the documentary of Taylor Swift when she's, you know, she looks like she's like 12.
Yeah.
She is so young. And I remember when we met her, I think she was 17 or 18.
Would this have been her first time on our show, do you think?
Possibly.
2009?
Yeah, I reckon it was, because we had her on young. Like, she was young, and she came up with her mum, who was her manager.
Yep.
And then
How old would she have been in 2009, Mike? Do you know?
I think she's 30 at the moment.
So yeah, was she born in 1986? Is that why her album's called that?
Or I think so, yeah.
1989 is her album. And so 2009, she's 20.
She's 20.
Around 20, yeah.
So
also, the song's called Love Story, Andy, not Love Song. Just so you know.
Get me, Mike.
Get him, Mike. He's vulnerable.
Sorry, I've been sitting on that for a while. I had to say it.
Please. That's why you're here, Mike. Essentially to correct us.
You're a fact checker. I reckon. So I just remember we had her on twice, and then the next time we had her on, she was in a hotel room, because I remember thinking she's got big enough now that we have to go to her.
And we're in Sydney.
And she doesn't come to us.
Yeah, you're right.
So this might have been the first time we had her on. She sat outside the studio, and then the next time she came.
Because that is the normal progression for a celeb. They come in,
yeah.
They play acoustically for you.
Someone coming in to play, okay, there's grades, isn't there?
Yeah.
Someone coming in going, I'll play acoustically on the show, that's like, okay, you need radio exposure. Someone coming in to play acoustically at a station meeting.
Yes.
That's the first run.
That's the first run.
I'm not even getting on air, but I'm getting to play for some people at the radio station who might do a favour for me. That's really grovelling.
The hierarchy is like, come on if you can play a cover as well, because it says you don't have a big enough.
Yeah.
You don't have songs big enough for you just to play two of those.
But
we want a very big cover and your new single.
Yep, so that, we'll allow that.
Then it's come in and just play. Then they're not coming in, no. And they're not playing.
No.
Then it's they don't even come to come on at all.
Then it's we'll go to you at a hotel room.
Yes.
In our city though.
Yes.
Then it's okay. We'll go to you at your hotel room in another state. We'll travel for you. Like this is me and Ed. Like well, okay, we'll fly to Sydney and we'll talk to you in the hotel room. Then the maximum level is. Okay, we'll fly to you in another state and we'll be one of several radio shows around a table that gets to talk to you. That's U2. That was U2 level.
And Chris Martin.
Chris Martin, sorry. Yeah, yep. Coldplay level.
And then
after that.
There is a we'll fly you in internationally. That comes up as well. But generally you have to dedicate the entire show to them and they only appear for 8 minutes.
And give away tickets for like 3 weeks to get that interview.
Who would be on that grade, do you reckon?
Oh, look.
A Beyonce or something you'd do that for. Like Triple M would do that for AC/DC.
Yes.
Or Metallica or someone like that.
I think they did it for Pink and the whole show went to LA or something.
You just give them everything.
Yeah.
You give them everything.
The world.
But early days, they're coming to you, baby.
So Taylor's in. She's played that song for us.
Sorry, there's one more. Then there's not an interview, then there's the bump interview, which was a strategy that I was asked to pursue. I declined, but it was at a period where Annie and I had gone overseas and done gap year in America, and we'd had Coldplay on the show when we did the show out of New York. Coldplay were back in Australia, but not doing any interviews. They were doing cool stuff. They did a film clip. They invited all their fans to come be at a film clip in Sydney.
And they had that amazing concert with all the armbands.
Yeah. They were just like, no, we're just doing the stuff that we want to do, which now look at it and you go, totally respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't doing any press. So, like, radio station stuff were furious and TV shows were furious, like, how dare you? We really want access. And then I was dating my wife at the time. She lived in Sydney. So I was travelling back and forth between Sydney. And I happened to be in Sydney this weekend with Zoe. And the station was like, Coldplay are sound checking. Do you think you know, sorry, it's a Sunday, but do you reckon you could get to like some venue?
Homebush or something?
Yeah, some venue in Sydney. And they were doing like a smaller show though. I think it was like a something like somewhere in the city. They're like, do you reckon you could get there and do an interview with Chris Martin? Mm. And I said, it's annoying, it's Sunday. But yeah, I mean, is it all teed up? I said, yeah, we're just working on if we can get it teed up. But if we could you do it? I said, yeah, okay, let us know. An hour goes by and the interview is meant to be like 4 o'clock. Mm. It sort of gets to like 2 o'clock and I'm like, hey, what's going on? The interview's like, think we're good. Are you good to get in there? I said, great. So if they agree to it, we haven't got any time yet with them to ask, but they're confident that if we could do it, it would be a yes. I said, well, I'm not going to go in unless like this is organised. And they said, then they come back and go, okay, here's the thing. We can't get any time with Chris to ask him about it. But if you were in there after sound check and you kind of, he'll remember you from the TV show. If you were to bump into him afterwards and go, oh, hey, I've got some gear here. Can we have a bit of a chat for the radio show? They're pretty confident he'd say yes.
Not so a risk like, you want to take,
so
Mike.
So it's not an interview. It's a bump interview. So they were hoping for you to just be like, what are you doing,
it's actually a bump. It's actually a bump into you.
You're like, crazy, man. Anyway, hey, hope you don't mind. Go Pelican Casey with a bit of recording gear.
It's already recording when you open it up.
I hope you don't mind, man, but I bought the gear, I bought the Marantz. What if we just have a casual chat?
Well, Taylor Swift was on.
Yeah.
So it's early for her. She's outside. She's played a acoustic album, which is brilliant of her. She's come in and we've said, I think from memory, we wanted her to pull a Swiftie.
We didn't we change her nickname? We were like, if you're Australian, your nickname would be Swiftie Taylor.
Yeah. Swiftie, yeah, that's right. That's right, I think. So we said, call McDonald's and I think pretend there wasn't something in the bag that was and see if you can go around and get a free one.
Because that's right, because I think generally we were trying to explain to her the concept of pulling a Swiftie.
Yeah.
And to see if we could get her to do one.
I think that's how it went down. Mike, give a nod to our sponsors first.
Oh, sorry, yep. Mike, do the sponsor stuff. Great, Mike. Yep. Okay, well, I think we're ready. Let's find out if Taylor Swift pulled a Swiftie.
The 10th of March, 2009.
Fantastic. Hamish Sandy driving you home. Taylor, if you just come back onto this microphone here.
Taylor Swift and band. Brilliant work.
Thank you.
You're going around the world and your music's touching everybody. It's a great, I'd imagine, exciting life. But at 19 years of age, what have you missed out on? Is there friends' birthdays, those things that you sit there and go, God, it would have been nice just to be in someone's backyard celebrating that?
Well, you know, I think that it's interesting because I kind of have like a double life in some ways. Mm. I have since I was in high school. You know, when I would be in high school, during the day it was lockers and gossip and boys and then
tell me about it. That was exactly my high school days.
And then after school I was writing songs with 40-year-olds who had like hits on the radio, and so I kind of had to be 15 during the day and then 40 at night.
Normally, yeah, like 18 or 19-year-olds organising school formals or proms. Yeah.
Which could be harder.
Yes, yeah. That's true, because you've got a lot of people to make happy with
the
prom.
Yeah, there you go.
It is such an amazing, you know, you're really down to earth and, you know, I was speaking to your mum before and she was saying, you know, Taylor's just living the dream. You're just getting to have this amazing experience at such a young age. On your iPod, what percentage of people do you think you've met on your iPod, like bands and stuff?
Good question. Sorry, can we just take a moment? Great question.
That was a great question.
You very rarely come up with good questions.
Thank you, because I was going to say, what's your favourite flavour of chips? But I thought, I'll skip that. We're talking about music, so.
Good question.
What do you think?
We're just going to bask in the glory of that good question
for
a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now answer.
Yeah.
I've probably met 95% of the people on my iPod.
That's amazing. Were you playing with Coldplay this weekend? Have you met Coldplay before?
I did. I met Chris Martin at the Grammys.
Oh, me too. No, I know. Where did I meet Chris Martin? Actually, no, I didn't go to the Grammys that year. No.
Are you aware of the term Swiftie?
Have you ever heard that? It's a bit of an Australian term.
Really?
If somebody pulls a Swiftie, have you ever heard that term?
I created that term.
Well, I mean, pulling a Swiftie is hard, even in your terms, which would be creating an amazing record career. But Swiftie...
Yeah, pulling a Taylor Swift is hard. You're the only person that's ever done that.
But a Swiftie is when you dupe someone, when you basically...
I suppose sort of like scamming someone is pulling a Swiftie.
Good. Yeah. Wow, I'm proud of that.
And Andy and I have been sort of giggling a little bit. Like every time we hear Taylor Swift come on, we always attempted to go, if you just switch the names around, it would be Swifty Taylor, which would just be sort of like an amazing Australian con
artist.
Which
would be so much better.
Yes. So if you, we thought maybe today as a small experiment to test out your alter ego.
Swifty Taylor.
Swifty Taylor.
Swifty Taylor is...
Could we,
that's my alter ego. Yes.
Could
nice.
We conduct a small test here? Now, one of the great Swifties you can pull is trying to get a fast food restaurant to give you something for free.
So yeah. We thought ringing McDonald's saying, we've just been through drive-thru, but you didn't put our chips in the bag. See if they say come back and grab them. That would be an all-time Swiftie.
You guys want to do that now?
Yeah.
Do you reckon, are you up for trying out as just a, as a live
test? I don't want them
test?
To recognize my voice, so I might have to change it.
That's fine.
You can be Susan...
Cool.
Gabinski.
I'm right. Not sure if they'll ask that.
Hi, it's Susan Gabinski here.
All right, I'm gonna try.
So you're happy for us to put in a Macca's number and you'll say that you've just been through the drive-thru?
Yes.
And that you didn't get your chips.
Yeah.
This could be the whole start of a new career. I mean, you might fall in love with getting free chips and decide to give up music.
Excuse
me.
Sorry?
Excuse me.
Yep.
I was just at your drive-thru.
Yep.
Y'all did not put my French fries in my order. Do you think that you could do that for me if I came back around? Could you put that in there for me?
What was your order?
Excuse me?
What was your order?
I had a chocolate milkshake. It's what I get every single time I go to McDonald's back in Alabama, but here you did not put my French fries in here, so I was wondering if you could give me my French fries.
Could you tell me what your order was, please?
I got my cheeseburger. I got a Diet Coke, fries, and a chocolate shake, and you did not give me my fries.
So you came to drive-thru?
I came all the way down here, and... I like to have fries with my meals, and when I order them, it would be amazing if you could just put them in there.
Could you please?
Excuse me?
Oh, unsuccessful Swifty.
Swifty's been amazing.
Oh, very good. Very good, Swifty. She has it in her. Swifty Taylor.
What an amazing character. If you give up singing at any point, there is a film career in your new character, Swifty Taylor.
Australia's greatest con man and also
Swifty
the...
Swifty Taylor, comma, y'all.
Introducing Swifty Taylor, y'all.
Thank you so much for coming in. The album is Fearless, the song Love Story that we heard, and good luck with the tour. We look forward to watching on Sound Relief.
Thank you. It's good talking to you guys.
Thanks, mate.
Really good, but did you feel the same I felt there listening to that? Because I couldn't remember the resolution of that, but I was like, she's not going to get it.
No.
Like, this guy's, you know exactly what he's doing. He's going, what was your order? And I'm just going to look back through the old brush orders that probably we were feeling on the day because you're going,
oh gosh,
we haven't thought this through at all. unless she accidentally names a correct order,
yep.
She's dead in the water here.
Yeah. So, I mean, she didn't pull it off, but
she didn't pull it off.
One of the rare misses, I think, from Taylor Swift.
Can do it, can pull
probably still haunts her.
Grammy, no worries. Free fries can't do it. But geez, great character. I remember us just going, wow, this is too, this, she's just, she really did have another, she had a woman in, from Alabama and that wanted to get out.
19 years of age, what were you doing, Mike?
I would have been 14 at school at this time.
No, I was asking what you were doing when you were 19 years of age.
not that day. Hanging out with 40-year-olds at night, no doubt, writing music. Writing Pokemon battles.
Great remembering.
Listener.